أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سلم بسنة يوم الدين، أما بعد. إن شاء الله we continue our weekly Wednesday class of the book of Riyadh al-Salihin with Imam Nawawi has compiled the hadith in different chapters. And for the last few Wednesdays we've been covering chapter number 26 regarding the issue of dhulm or oppression, and what attaches to it in terms of the issues of oppression, not only in terms of force or activity, but also in terms of trust, amana, and also in terms of takalif, meaning things that are obligations on someone. How does someone perform dhulm if they are entrusted with something or if they are obligated with responsibility? So we've covered many ahadith. There are like 19 total ahadith in this chapter, and we've covered so far the last 14 in the last few Wednesdays. Today we'll continue in our section, in the same section, and cover hadith number 15 through 19 that Imam Nawawi has compiled regarding this topic. Just to refresh ourselves from the beginning, like we said, that the definition of dhulm itself, as the scholars have classified it, is to put something in not its right position, to put something in its wrong position. That is the that is the clear definition of dhulm. And another way, not giving someone their due respect or their due right is also an aspect of dhulm. Now, how does that relate to takalif, meaning obligation, responsibility? It is in the sense that if there's a father or mother, they have certain responsibility as a father or mother, and if they do not adhere to those obligation responsibility, and that is a way of them committing dhulm towards their children, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will certainly ask them and have accountability of them. Regarding trust or amana, how does dhulm perform? As we covered last Wednesday, a couple of ahadith that the Prophet warned us that if anybody or if any one of you is given a responsibility, a position like a manager, supervisor, or governor, or anything, and if they misuse their position, that is meaning the extortion or bribe or influencing people decision, then that is also a form of dhulm. Although they may not have physically hit someone or they may not have said something to someone, but because they're using their position as a they're using their position as a prime aspect of attracting inappropriate things from others, then that would, which in a layman's term we know it as bribe. Like if somebody comes and gives you a gift, and that's why, if you remember, we took that hadith last Wednesday. Moving on forward, we see in hadith number 15, which is narrated by Abi Qatada radiallahu anhu, that he said that the Prophet he stood up, qama fihim, فَذَكَرَ لَهُمْ أَنَّ الْجِهَادِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالْإِيمَانِ بِاللَّهِ أَفْضَلُ الْأَعْمَالِ. The Prophet stood up amongst the gathering of the Sahaba, and then he talked to them, okay, and then he mentioned to them, فَذَكَرَ لَهُمْ أَنَّ الْجِهَادِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالْإِيمَانِ بِاللَّهِ أَفْضَلُ الْأَعْمَالِ. The Prophet when he got up in this gathering, he informed them that the fighting in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jihad fi sabilillah, and also iman billah, and believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, afdalul a'mal, is the best of actions, according to the Prophet in this hadith. فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ فَقَالَ. When the Prophet opened up with this statement, one of the people who was sitting in that gathering, they stood up and got up, and they said to the Prophet, يا رسول الله, O Prophet of Allah, أَرَأَيْتَ إِن قُتِلْتُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَتُكَفَّرُ عَنِّي خَطَائِي. He asked the Prophet a question. He said, do you see, O Prophet of Allah, أَرَأَيْتَ إِن قُتِلْتُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, if I am martyred in the way of Allah when I go for the jihad, then does that, أَتُكَفَّرُ عَنِّي خَطَائِي, does that wipe off, clean or clear my mistakes, my sins? So فَقَالَ لَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. The Prophet answered him back saying, نَعَمْ, yes. And then he went on to explain, إِنْ قُتِلْتَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَأَنْتَ صَابِرٌ مُحْتَسِبٌ مُقْبِلٌ غَيْرُ مُدْبِرٍ. The Prophet answered back to his question that yes, that yes, you're giving up of your life in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning in the form of martyrdom, yes, that does remove or wipe off the mistake and sins that the person has done, but he said there's a condition attached to it. Provided, وَأَنْتَ صَابِرٌ مَحْتَسِبٌ, provided that you are very patient on whatever has happened, and also you are مَحْتَسِبٌ, that you were self-conscious, you were accountable, accountability was there with you. مُدْبِرٌ غَيْرَ مُدْبِرٍ, and you were adhering to the laws of Allah's wadah. They are not like major sins. If you remember, last Wednesday we finished off with the last hadith, which was hadith number 14, just to, because these two hadiths are linked together, and that gives us a better perspective of the context, that how is martyrdom, is it a free ride, free ticket for anyone to just go do the biggest sin and then go give up their life in the way of Allah wants to remove it. So the previous hadith that we took last time, where the people were saying Fulan Shaheed, Fulan Shaheed, and حَتَّى مَرُوا عَلَى رَجْلٍ فَقَالُوا فُلَانَ شَهِيدٌ فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ كَلَّا إِنِّي رَأَيْتُهُ فِي النَّارِ فِي بُرْدَةٍ غَلَّهَا أَوْ أَبَاءَةٍ رَوَاهُ مُسْلِمٌ. In that hadith, what was happening was that the Prophet ﷺ were going past by in front of bodies, obviously, and people were saying فُلَانَ شَهِيدٌ فُلَانَ شَهِيدٌ, this person is martyred, this person is martyred, this person is martyred, until حَتَّى مَرُوا عَلَى رَجْلٍ, until they come across a person. And they said also Fulan Shaheed, and the Prophet Islam immediately made an exception. He said Kalla. And we know that from the Nahu of Arabic, from the Arabic linguistic point of view, that the word Kalla is really saying no, not, with certainty. Okay? Because there is two things. You have Na'am and La. And you have Bala and Kalla. Bala meaning of course, certain, there's no shak, there's no doubt about it. In the same way, Kalla is a negation. So the Prophet Islam was negating the term that the Sahaba were saying that this person is Shaheed, and he went on to say why. He said, إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ, he's a prophet of Allah, and he said, Salam. And he said, I saw him in the hellfire, فِي بُرْدَةٍ غَلَّهَا, in the dress in which he had stolen. What was the purpose of the Prophet ﷺ to negate this person? He was not discrediting or disregarding this person's contribution of his life in the way of Allah, but he was saying that, look, don't take this wrongfully, that I mean, this person committed a dhulm, oppression, in the source of what? That he had taken a clothing because of his position that he had, and that was not his own. So that is why the Prophet ﷺ said that this person cheated, he did khiyana in the amana that he had, the trust that he had, he cheated that, he deceived, and therefore his giving up of his life did not clarify that, meaning what? That dhulm comes under one of the kaba'ir, oppression, dhulm, or comes in the section of one of the major sins, and whatever it means that to kafir dhulm, meaning it wipes off the sins in terms of minor sins and mistakes, but if there is anything in terms of huquq al-ibad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not even forgive the martyr unless the people have forgiven for that. So in this hadith we see that Imam Nawawi explains regarding this hadith that al-shahada bi shurutiha to kafir al-dhulub, illa al-dayn wa ghayruhu min huquq al-ibad idha tamakkana min adayah wa lam yaf'al. Meaning, he's saying over here that shahada fi sabilillah, martyrdom in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bi shurutiha, meaning of course, following the conditions of martyrdom, which is such as, you know, sidq al-niyyah, ikhlas, purity, sincerity and all that, to kafir al-dhulub, there's no doubt about it that martyrdom does wipe off, forgive the sins of the past, of the person before his death. Except, he said, illa, there's an exception behind it. And what he said, number one exception is illa dayn. It does not wipe off the loan. If someone has taken a loan from someone and they never return it back, and they were able to return it back, as the Prophet, you know, said it over there, and they didn't do that, then that does not wipe off. On the Day of Judgment, they will have to give that loan, they have to repay it back. And if you remember last Wednesday we talked about it, that what is the currency that we as believers would have on the Day of Judgment? Would we have dinar, dirham, dollar, pounds? What would we have? What's the currency in Yawm al-Qiyamah to settle the score, to settle the debts, to settle the dispute and disagreements amongst us? Yes, our a'mal. Not just hasanat. If you remember, one of the hadiths we took in that context was that the currency that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use from our accounts is our a'mal, our deeds, whether they are good or bad. How? For example, if a person wronged other people and, you know, didn't ever settle the disputes and disagreements here in this world, on the Day of Judgment, Allah Ta'ala will bring and settle the issue of dhulm, oppression, in the way that, first of all, Allah will take this person who is oppressed, the person, the perpetrator, Allah will take from his good deeds and give it to the mazlumin, those who are the victims. If this person was a very bad person on this earth, then all those who will come for their haqq, they will be given hasanat from this person's account. So if this person got to Qiyamah with a whole big bunch of hasanat, it all diminishes and dwindles down. Nothing is left zero. And in the hadith that we took last week, remember we said that even if his hasanat finished, and still they are maghlumin, they want their huquq, their rights, what will Allah do? Allah will take sins from their account and put it in this person's account. And that is how Allah will settle the score, settle the disputes between people. So if a person became martyred but they did khiyana and they cheated others and they did other kinds of oppression towards other people, then Allah would, it said that they have a free ride to Jannah, they will settle through these things. And if still after all the settlement of these things, oppression, they are successful, then they would enter the Jannah, of course, inshallah. And that is what Imam Nawawi is saying here, that Allah SWT does not accept a blanket statement of a martyr, but rather if there is min huquq al-ibad, and the rights of the people, the slaves of Allah SWT, and this person did not give them back their due rights, then they would have to answer for that. The next one we have in this section is Hadith number 16, which is narrated by Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu, and it's a very interesting hadith. It ties up to what we just said regarding the issue of our deeds, our a'mal. It's very, very important that we not just do the good deeds, but we safeguard them, we protect them from being wasted, being going down the drain. Because it's no good doing tons and tons of good deeds on one side, and then on the other side hurting people, ridiculing them, oppressing people, not fulfilling responsibilities and obligations. All these are liability, they'll add up. All these will add up in the sayyiat column. So a person might pray five times a day and fast so many months extra other than Ramadan, and also do Umrah and Hajj and do a lot of sadaqat and give a lot of good, charity. He or she is doing this on the good side, but at the same time on the other side they are cursing people, they're oppressing people, hurting their feelings. If they're responsible for a certain position, they're not fulfilling their responsibility. If they have been given something as a trust, they're not fulfilling their trust, or they're doing mischief within their trust. So all these would add up as a sins and sayyiat. So they would burden. And on the Day of Judgment, as you know, that Allah will bring a mizan, it's a scale, it's a balance. You just weigh. So whichever outweighs the other, that will decide the verdict of the person, whether they're going to Jannah or Jahannam. In this hadith, the Prophet was sitting in a gathering like this, and he asked the Sahaba, he asked them, أَتَدْرُونَ مَنِ الْمُفْلِسِ. Do you know that who is a bankrupt person? Muflis in the sense that totally losing, have nothing. They responded back saying, قَالُوا الْمُفْلِسُ فِينا مَنْ لَا دِرْهَمْ لَهُ وَلَا مَتَاعٍ. The Prophet ﷺ was given the answer from the Sahaba. They collectively said together, as the narrator is saying, that the element of pluralism was used, قَالُوا, not قَالَ, it's not one person who answered, but all of them unanimously answered that الْمُفْلِسُ فِينا, the poor or the bankrupt, the loser person amongst us, is that person who doesn't have any dirham, meaning no money, no monetary or wealth or assets. وَلَمَتَعْ, and they don't have any, property, assets, anything. So meaning, the concept of bankruptcy, the concept of poverty, the concept of being poor and a loser, a miser, is attached to monetary aspects. It's a human instinct, human nature, and that's what they said. They responded back to the Prophet ﷺ. But the Prophet asked them the question to give them enlightenment, to direct them towards the true, the haqiqi, the true meaning of a muflis. Meaning a person might be very poor in this world, but they may be the richest person in terms of akhirah because of their a'mal. And likewise, a person may be the most richest person here on earth, and they might be doing a lot of sadaqat, but they are the poorest person in terms of akhirah because of their a'mal. So the Prophet ﷺ, he then went on to say, فَقَالَ إِنَّ الْمُفْلِسَ مِنْ أُمَّتِي. And the Prophet ﷺ is saying that certainly the most, the bankrupt, the loser, the most poor person from my ummah, مَنْ يَأْتِيَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, who will come on the Day of Judgment in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بِإِشْ بِصَلَاتٍ وَصِيَامٍ وَزَكَاتٍ. The person who will come with salat, with siyam, and zakat. So they have, these are pillars of Islam. We do this on a regular basis. وَيَأْتِي وَقَدْ شَتَمَ هَذَا. And then this person will come and he has, you know, cursed this person, or blamed this person, accused. وَقَذَفَ هَذَا وَأَكْلَ مَالَ هَذَا. He served up or ate up the wealth of other people. He cut off the other person. وَصَفَكَ دَمَ هَذَا. Or he might have murdered someone. وَذَرَبَ هَذَا. He might have hit someone. فَيُؤْتَ هَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ وَهَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ. These people who have been oppressed, these people who have been harmed by this person who has done so much salah, so much zakat, so much siyam, all these good deeds, all these external effort things that this person has done is wasted. Why? Because he has cursed this person, cheated that person, ridiculed that person, hurt this person's feeling, did that this person. Meaning the liabilities they add up, there's so many things that this person did. He might have hurt someone, he might have killed someone. So what will happen? All these victims of this person, all those people who became victims in this life from this person, from the volume, the one who's done the good, all these people who become victims, now they will be given what? فَيُؤْتَ هَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِ. This person will be given from the hasanat of this person. Meaning, remember that the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ يَأْتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And then he has salah, siyam, zakat. So all this salah, all this siyam, all this zakat, all these ajr that he has accumulated will be taken. And as you remember, two Wednesdays ago, one of the hadiths we took in the chapter was, with what proportion will Allah subhanahu decide? That is up to Allah, because Allah is al-Hakim, He's al-Adil, He's al-Adil. Allah is the judge, Allah is the most fair and wise and fit and equal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decide the proportion. Suppose you have 500,000 hasanat. So if someone has a 500,000 hasanat, and that someone has cursed the other person, or murdered someone, or hurted someone else, or deprived someone of their due rights, each of those mistakes or sins would be weighed according to Allah's jurisdiction. Allah is the judge. He will decide, okay, for depriving someone of their rights for this kind of loan, take 50 from it. For hurting someone's feeling by cursing them, take 100 from the hasanah. So Allah is the one who, بِقَدْرِ مَسْتَطَعَ, I mean, بِقَدْرِ الظُّلْمِ, as the words of the hadith were in that previous one that we took 2 weeks ago, was that by the level of their sin, by the level of their violation, Allah will fix the proportion. Okay, for this crime, for this sin, for this mistake, take so much from this hasanat, take so much from this hasanat. And the hasanat that the person accumulated on that day of judgment, will see it begin to diminish, decrease. Until what? He then said, فَإِنْ فَنِيَتْ حَسَنَاتُهُ. The Prophet ﷺ is saying in this hadith, okay, that فَإِنْ فَنِيَتْ حَسَنَاتُهُ. I mean, this person has committed so much wrong, this person has committed so much oppression, that all the hasanat, and remember at the beginning of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that he does not have a small amount of hasanat. From the wording of the hadith, we see that it means that they have a lot of hasanat. So all the hasanat have dwindled down into minute, minimum level, so much that it has finished. فَإِنْ فَلِيَتْ حَسَنَاتُ, which means that if they are extinguished, they are finished, no more left. Like there are people still asking for their demands and now it's zero. Where should we go? So look what the Prophet ﷺ says. فَإِنْ فَلِيَتْ حَسَنَاتُ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُقْدَرَ عَلَيْهِ أُخْذَ مِنْ خَطَيَاهُ. Meaning his hasanat has finished before the qadaya, before the people who have come to settle the score, they are still not finished. Hasanat finished, but people are finished. People are still demanding their rights. And Allah as the Hakim, as the judge, Allah as the fair and adil, would give them their due rights. So now because there is no more hasanat left, no more cash currency left, it is justified, it is just, it is fairness, that those people's bad deeds, khataya, their sin, should come into the account of this person. That is why in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ informed us that on the day of judgment, it is very possible that you may not have done some sins, but it is in your account. Why? Because of this act. This hadith correlates with that one. That a person might say, okay, all my life I don't remember. Because if you remember in Quran, Surah Al-Isra'il, Allah says that the human being, when they will see their amal, they remember. It's not that they forgot, they remember, oh yeah, in 1948, yeah, I did this. Or in 1978, I did this. Or 2004, I did this. They remember. But when they come to something, oh, I don't recall I did this. Why? Because that has come from someone else's account. So a person might say, hey, I never did zina, I didn't fornication. How come it's my account? Because after the settling of the score, it has now come into the account. Somebody else did that thing, it is taken from them and given to this person because this person did both. And that is why the Prophet, if you remember this chapter, the first hadith that the Imam Nawawi compiled was the hadith of the Prophet where he gave a very stern warning that اتَّقْوَ ذُمْ فَإِنَّ ذُمْ ظُلُمَاتِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Beware, he says, be on guard, be careful, be very cautious from ذُمْ, because you never know, this ذُمْ can waste our hasanat, just like we see here in this hadith, that we may, a human being from a human nature might think, oh, it's just a small thing, it's not that big. But I'm the Allah al-Azim, in front of Allah, well, it's huge, it's big. Because Allah will fairly and justfully settle the thing on that day. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ was saying that beware or be conscious from them. Why? For إِنَّ ذُمْ ظُلُمَاتْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Because this ذُمْ will become, will be so much huge in this context that we see that because of ذُمْ, the hasanat of that person are being wasted. Not only is hasanat being wasted, but they are accumulating sins from other people's account. And why did they do that? Did they do those things? No. But because they hurted those people, and they didn't settle the debt or score here in this dunya, now they have to receive the sins from other people. And a person will... I mean, imagine the conscience of that person, how will they feel that sins that they didn't do is now have to come in their account. And now they are deprived from going to Jannah because now they have these so many sayyidats. This is the feeling, this is the wisdom, hikmah of this hadith of Rasulullah. He's saying that look, just like that person will feel on the Yawm al-Qiyamah that I haven't done these sins and it's in my account. What is that? Isn't that the feeling of oppression, the feeling of mazlum? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will taste, will give the zalim a taste of what he or she used to do in the dunya. Because in the dunya, he or she committed so many wrongs, so many of these oppression, and they didn't realize how the other person is feeling, what emotions they're going through, what sensitivity they're going through. They didn't realize that. They just went in their mad dash craziness of just committing vroom, vroom, vroom. Now on the day of judgment, when this is happening to them, that they see in front of their own eyes, all their hasanat finished, and then they accumulate the sins or the mistakes of other people, now they get a taste of the sin that they committed, which is classified as vroom, oppression. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates oppression. Because it kills the very purpose of Iman. It kills the very purpose of Uhuwa, unity and brotherhood. It destroys the unity amongst the Muslim community. So then he will say that فَطُرْحَدْ عَلَيْهِ ثُمَّ تُرْحَدْهِ اللَّهِ. Meaning this person accumulates and receives the sins from other people's accounts because of what they did, and then he would be thrown into the hellfire. Even though he may have done so many umrah, so many hajj, so much zakat, so much, I mean, the ujur, the ajr is plentiful, abundant, so much that a person cannot realize. You know how sometimes people who are wealthy, they get so many sadaqah, so many in the way of Allah, but because of their dhulm, their mazalim, all these sadaqah is now wasted. فَطُرِحَتْ وَطُرِحَتْ اللَّهِ. How bad, how sorry it is, how regretful it is that a person does so much hard work in doing the hasanat, in doing the good deeds, and then it's wasted. It's not easy to do good deeds, is it? To kill the nafs, to kill the temptations and whispers of the shaitan, and then do the good deeds. I mean, a person is doing so much juhd, they're striving so hard in this dunya, in this tempting dunya, to do good deeds, and then after all this hard work and effort and striving, they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yawm al-qiyamah, and all of this is wasted. Why? Just because they could not control themselves from zulm. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is creating in our minds and hearts the awareness that don't treat zulm as lightly. Remember one of the hadiths we took, that the Prophet ﷺ said that fear the da'wah, or fear the supplication, invocation, the du'a of the mazlum. Because why? فَإِنَّ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ. Because there is no hijab, there is no barrier, no curtain, nothing, no screening between the du'a of a mazlum person and Allah SWT. Allah SWT mustajab, it's accepted. That du'a is accepted because it comes from the deepness of the heart. The person feels the pain, a mazlum person, person who has been oppressed, person who has been hurt by the other aggressor, they feel pain and anguish, and they feel the hurt inside. So the karm comes from the heart. They may not say it from the tongue, but the feeling is there inside, and they may say, you know, what is this? So Allah SWT hears that karm, that pain, and then punishes the zalim in the dunya and also in akhirah, as we see in this hadith. The next one we see is hadith number 17 over there in this chapter, and this is narrated by Salma رضي anha, that the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ وَإِنَّكُمْ تَقْتَصِمُونَ إِلَيَّ وَلَعَلَّ بَعْضُكُمْ أَنْ يَكُونَ أَلْحَنَ بِحُجَّتِهِ مِنْ بَعْضٍ فأقضي له بنحو ما أسمع فمن قضيت له بحق أخيه فإنما أقطع له قطعة من النار. The Prophet is saying, is making us realize that look, yes, I'm a Prophet of Allah, yes, I'm a Messenger of Allah, but I'm also a Bashar, I'm a human being. I'm a human being just like you. And yes, we know that according to our belief, the Prophet is innocent, is ma'fum, doesn't have mistake or sins. And his Allah already said in the Quran also that is past and present and future, everything is forgiven. So he says, when you come with your khasar, your disagreements, your things, arguments that you have amongst each other, you come to me for that. وَلَعَلَّكْ بَعْضُكُمْ أَنْ يَكُونَ أَلْحَنَ يَنِي أَعْلَمَ بِهُجَّتِهِ. And perhaps he says that one of you, the two or three people come to him with their issue or circumstances, he says, perhaps one of you or some of you amongst each other is more understanding of the reasoning and the causations and the purposes and the background behind it. فَأَقْضِيَ اللَّهُ بِالنَّحْمِ مَا أَسْمَى. Then he said, I do the decision making between the two people, the two parties in their disputes, بِنَحْمِ مَا أَسْمَى, by the ability of what I listen and hear from both sides. So meaning, what he's trying to show is that, look, I'm not a superficial human being. I'm not a special kind of person that if you tell me this incident, I was there, I could see and hear the incident. No. Whatever you come and tell me as human beings, and I'm a Bashar, I'm a human being, I'm a Prophet of Allah, I listen to it, and then I make the decision process, I make a judgment on that issue, based on the reasonings and things that I get, based on the argumentation that we get. Meaning he's trying to make them realize, do not treat me as a very extraordinary something. I'm a human being just like you. I mean, don't compare me as a human being to Allah. Allah is As-Sami' wal-Basir. Allah is the one who's ever listening and all hearing and all seeing, because Allah is Allah. Allah is a creator. And the Prophet ﷺ is not a creator. He's a creation. He's a makhluk. So he has something that is limited. And this is what he's trying to make them realize. That when I decide about something, don't think that I have made that decision because I was there, I could see it, or I could hear it. Whatever information you are telling me, refuting me, I deduce from it, inferences, and then I come using the Quran and Sunnah and the teachings that Allah has given him, he uses that to decide from them. So he's saying that whoever I decide for, then I cut off a portion of, it's just like cutting off a portion from the fire. That is this issue of decision making. He's trying to make us realize, those of us who are reading this hadith, is the issue of judging between people. You know, you go to the court, you go to the qadi, and they judge. The issue of zulm comes under that also. That if a person does not use the proper procedures of decision making or deciding between two people who are arguing, then that is also considered zulm. So that means they should strive, they should try their best to be fair. But obviously, because they're human beings, they will not be fair to the nth degree, the x part. They will be fair as far as they can based on their khashya and taqwa. So what really he is warning is that if any one of us, the message from this hadith, the wisdom for us is that if any one of us is used as a mediator, as a person to decide, like some Sometimes you have two people who come to you, say, brother, can you help us out? Can you solve our issue or dispute? You listen to party A, you listen to party B, you listen to both of them, and you keep listening to the reasons, context, you ask maybe questions to find out more. And after all this, you, using your best of judgment knowledge, you decide on that issue, that, okay, this one is right, this one is wrong, or this one is right and this one is wrong. This one should have done this way, this one should have done that way. When you're doing that, what he's saying here is try to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while doing it. Don't do it because of biasness, because of favoritism. Don't do it because of relationship. Okay, this person is more closer to me, my friend, so when I decide, I lean towards them. No, it should be unbiased, okay, unfavored, ineffective from the personality of that person. Otherwise, this would be counted. Any slightest bit of favoritism, any slightest bit of inclination towards someone in deciding, would be counted as wrong on the day of judgment. And the victim, the person who's hurt because of your decision making, will come on the day of judgment and say, this person, we came to him and he decided for us and everything, but I think he has done wrong. And Allah SWT being al-Hakim on that day will come to a decision. That, okay, and so the person has to be careful and conscious of that, that they don't perform anything just on mere hearsay or rumor. They should do tahqiq. They should investigate and explore and realize before giving their verdict, their decision. And that is why we see that there are many hadith regarding judgment, regarding decision, that the Prophet ﷺ said that لا يقضي القاضي وهو غاضب, like a qadi, the judge cannot judge between two people while he's in a state of anger. Okay, and he cannot hurry, hastiness, al-ajla. He cannot rush to judgment, meaning don't, okay, we gotta decide this issue in 5 minutes. No, if someone comes to you and says, decide between us in 5 minutes, you say, no, I can't do it, get away. That's not one of the prerequisites of the judging process from Imam. Because one of the prerequisites is that it should be with humbleness, with humility, with time, with patience, and giving each person their due right. The next one we have, hadith number 18 in this section, where it is narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar, the son of Umar ibn Khattab, and they said that the Prophet ﷺ told us, لَنْ يَجَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِ فِي فُصْحَةٍ مِنْ دِينِ مَا لَمْ يُسِدْ دَمًا حَرَامًا, meaning that the person will not receive the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or in the deen they will not see the rahmah in the, if they commit a murder, dam al haram, meaning murder. If somebody kills someone or spills someone's blood or sheds someone's blood, unjustifiably, unknowingly, meaning what? If it's in the sense that a person is requiring blood for blood, that's a different thing. That's what the Sharia orders justify. But here he's saying that going there and committing the sin of murder, then that person is mahroom, that person is deprived from the rahmah of Allah, mercy and blessing of Allah. And that person will always be in kaf, in pain and turmoil and affliction because they have committed. Even though they might, you know, like it happens in this country, you see a lot, that somebody murdered someone and they put him in a bag and put them in the lake, and maybe a week later, a month later, somebody found the body bag or something, and then they start to find out and go back. So the person who's a murderer, who's killing, he thinks that I can hide my murder and, you know, I can get away. They leave the state, they go somewhere else, they change their identity, change the thing, trying to cover up a murder. But Allah SWT over here, so the Prophet ﷺ is giving a warning that, look, you cannot hide from Allah SWT. You may be able to run from the people at that time, but you can't hide because Allah SWT will bring the recompense, return of that blood. That blood, that wound that was completed over there, it would come back to haunt them and they would be caught. In this dunya, there's something that Allah SWT will not leave for the murderer, that they cannot just murder someone in this dunya and then pass away and hide and die and nobody knows who was the murderer. This is the sunnah of Allah, as Allah says in the Quran, that وَلَنْ تَجِدَ سُنَّةَ اللَّهِ تَحْوِيلًا, that you never see for the sunnah of Allah to any change. The sunnah of Allah SWT is that all those ظالمين, in terms of murders, killing of blood, because dam is very haram, it's very sacred. Not haram in the book, it just is forbidden. But the word haram also has a second meaning, which means sacred, it has a sanctity. The dam of insan, the blood of insan in front of Allah SWT is very valuable, very precious. It's not something that can easily be spilled and spelled and wasted. That's why Allah says that the one who's martyred, shaheed, he's giving his blood for the sake of Allah. And the one Ali, that's why Allah has so much reward for them, the Huri and the Shafa'ah and so many things. Because Allah is saying, this is a very precious thing. And again, this blood comes from where? Allah is the one who created it. This body from Him, it's an amal within us. So Allah is saying, the sunnah of Allah here in this dunya is that if any human being commits a murder in this dunya, they will never get by before their death. Allah will not give them death until they are caught in this dunya and they pay for their consequences, and then death will come in this dunya to them. And then on the day of judgment, Allah walahum, they have like double the azab in the yawm al-qiyam because of what they committed here. The purpose of this is to make the believers, those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, realize a stern warning, important, that don't even think about, don't even go in that direction of taking life unduly of someone else, because there's a humongous punishment for that. And also in this dunya, there is khizr, there is disgrace and humiliation for that person when they are caught. Next one, this is the last one in this chapter of Ghun, the 19th one. In this one, the Prophet said that إِنَّ رِجَالًا يَتَخَوَّدُونَ فِي إِمَانِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ فَلَهُمُ النَّارُ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. He said that there are people, رجال, men, who... It's a very, very important hadith, especially for people who are entrusted with public money, people's money, in charity organizations, in Islamic organizations, or any human rights or human relations organization. Whenever people are entrusted with something, it's for them a stern warning from the Prophet. It's saying, إِنَّ رِجَالًا يَتَخَوَّدُونَ يَتَخَوَّدُونَ يَتَصَرَّفُونَ فِي مَالِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ حَقِّ فِي مَالِ اللَّهِ The mal of Allah. What does the Prophet mean here by mal Allah? The mal of Allah. Does Allah give money to... No. When somebody donates, فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, that mal has now become the property and the ownership of Allah. Person comes up and says, brother, there is such and such this idara or this organization, and we help the poor, we help the needy, please donate generously. You write a check, you give cash, whatever. That sunduq, the boss has filled, and then they count, and now that mal, 500, whatever mal that they accumulated, that has become now the property of Allah. It's not the property of any human being. Not that person who's asking for donation. Not for the organization to what it belongs to. But that money is now the property and ownership of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yes, those people who are in that organization, or the person who's asking the donation, he is entrusted, okay, he has amanah. He is entrusted to, and he's delegated to yasrif, to spend that mal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the right way, in the right direction, in the right place. If in the execution of this mal, this person does even a millimeter, or even a fraction of a millimeter of difference, it will come as a dhulm on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Allah will ask, even if it's half a penny, not just one penny, half of a penny of a slight change here and there, Allah, in this dunya they may get by, but Allah SWT will not leave them alone on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And that is what this hadith of Rasulullah is saying, that in the رِجَالًا يَتَخَوَّلُونَ فِي مَالِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ. بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ meaning بِغَيْرِ سَبَبٍ, or without the due right. They are not authorized to spend. For example, if somebody is running an organization for orphans, and they come here and they say, please donate, we want to help the orphans, the yatim and all that, and they give the money, and if a person spends from there a single penny, not in the cause of orphans, that single penny will become liability on them, and it will be multiplied. Yet a Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah will ask them for that penny, not a dollar, a hundred, $1,000, one penny. Why did you spend this other than for the yatim? You ask the people to give for yatama, I, as Allah gave rahmah in the hearts of those people when you were asking for the money, Allah is the one who gives us rahmah in the heart, mercy, to, and opens our heart to give us generosity, sakhara, and we write the check. So Allah will ask that person that you did not accumulate that money based on your personality, on your, you know, your individuality. Nobody gave money because you were the one who collected. People gave money for Allah, for the sake of Allah. People didn't give money because this person is a minister, or this person is a big sheikh, or a big imam, he's asking money. No. Nobody gives money for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of someone who's asking that person. No. Whoever gives it for Allah's sake. So Allah says this is Malillah, this is the puppet of Allah. And if somebody, يَغْصَرَفِيهَا, if somebody has spent that mal بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ, meaning without the due right, without the due authorization, without the due purpose in that way, then that what would النَّارُ يَوْمُكَرْ فَلَهُمُ النَّارُ يَوْمُكَرْ. The Prophet ﷺ is saying very clearly, let that person be prepared for the knock to answer the consequence. Now, the scholars here, Imam Nawawi over here, gives explanation that, like, some people ask the question that, okay, what if we spent on office supplies, staplers, papers, pen, we're running an office for that organization, we have office rent and all that. The ulama, the scholars have given that whatever money is collected for a purpose or cause, and then it's used in administrative causes for that organization, it is justifiable, so long as it is not israf. You don't want to go and get a $50 stapler, it's going to cost $2. But if the organization chief or the people have this mentality, you want to have the best thing, you want to get a fax, get a regular fax. But if you want to get the high-tech, the most latest fax, it's costing more money, and you're getting that fax, not from your own pocket, but from the amwal al-nas, the man of Allah, the people that they gave money, then this is what we call, it acts as a form of dhulm, oppression. And who have you oppressed? You've oppressed all these countless people who donated. And who have you oppressed? You've oppressed all those countless people who were supposed to get that money. So what they're saying is, you should minimize your cost. Minimize to the maximum, minimum level. Or maximum in the sense that maximum that you can squeeze. So that you can, whatever money you gather, you can use the maximum of that money for the cause, for the purpose for which you accumulated. Not because, okay, we accumulated 100,000, 50,000 will go to the expenses, and the rest 50,000 will just give it for the cause. That is not what is what the Prophet ﷺ is saying here, that beware, be conscious, be careful of spending the money of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the middle he also says that this hadith also applies to people in any responsibility area of any company. Like suppose the company has money, and you are the treasurer, or you are the financial secretary, or you are the manager or supervisor, CEO of that company. If you unnecessarily use company money because of your position to be wasted on personal things, on personal issues, that is also a dhulm, oppression. Because that money is not for that person. He or she is using that money that belongs to the corporate account, corporation. And suppose the manager comes and says, okay, next week you're going on a seminar, so you can use company money for expenses and anything such as that, and you can bill. What happens, and I've seen that many people, they would not stay in the hotel, but they'll get the money for hotel, and then they'll stay at their relative's house. So they're still getting the money. They have bill, I don't know how they do it, Allah Alam. But the company gets a bill for the hotel, and really that person is taking that money and putting it in the pocket. This is the warning over here. يَتَخَوَّضُونَ فِي مَالِ اللَّهِ. Over here it means, yeah, in the sense that money was not authorized for you. I mean, that money was authorized for you to stay, and you never stayed. So in a way, really that is khiyana, cheating. And there are many other things that people would exaggerate the expenses. If they spend $10 somewhere, they would say, okay, we'll spend $20. So they fill up the invoice, get it from the company treasury, they fill up that amount, and they think that this is justifiable. Remember, brothers and sisters, that every single penny, or even fraction of a penny, that we earn in this dunya, we have to answer to Allah SWT. We may not answer to Uncle Sam here, we may not answer to any manager or authority here, but Yawm al-Qiyamah, and sometimes people have this mentality, oh, it's a Kafir company, they're not Muslim, so who has to answer to that? No. Answer in a Rabb. Rabb al-Kafir, Rabb, isn't Allah the Rabb of every human being? So Allah, we have to answer to the Allah SWT on the Day of Judgment. What justification did we have to use that money? Also, in Imam Nawawi says here that التحذير من تصرف المال المسلمين العامة بالتشهي والباطل وفي المصالح الخاصة, that a person spends the money of the people in whatever they like. Meaning, suppose you're running an organization, we accumulated donation money, and then we say, okay, that's it. I feel like this money should be spent here, here, here. No, he's saying the umur al-shura. There should be a shura, consultation, is this an assignment or donation or something, not one person should be making the decision process of spending that money. Rather, they should collectively make a shura, seek opinion and advice, and then whatever they feel right, then they should decide. Meaning the president of that organization or that idara does not have the sole right in their hand to just decide on spending the money, because that's amwal al-muslimin, amwalu the sadaqah. So therefore it is very, very, meaning there's extra caution to be taken care of. Otherwise it would be used under the jurisdiction of dhulm, oppression, that a person is committing oppression because of not using it in the right way, and then they'll be liable for that. And if it's taken back from the hasanat, how pity it would be that a person wastes that money away. Next chapter, we have chapter number 27. It says, Bab ta'zim hurumat al-muslimin wa bayan huquqihim wa shafaqa alayhi wa rahmati. Before we start this chapter, is there any questions on the previous chapter that we finished today? We've been taking the chapter for the last 3 weeks, and if any of the sisters have any questions, they can write down and send it forward. You know, the issue of dhulm and other things that we talked, the whole topic of dhulm. Yes, brother?
The only question I have is, if, for instance, if I get money from my father to go pay something, and instead of paying that one thing, I go to pay something else, but then I take money from myself and go pay the thing that he wanted me to pay, is that considered a question?
No. As long as you duly paid the thing that was meant to be paid. It would have considered oppression if you didn't pay and you just, you know, served up the money. But that is also some of the money of your father. So your father's rating is really, I mean, if he doesn't know about it, then yes, it would come under the law. But if you told him, then look, you gave me this amount of money to pay that bill, I didn't pay that, I used it up for something else, and he knows about it, then that's not a problem either still. The only way.
But if I paid everything.
Yeah, there's nothing to see there.
I'd like some explanation guidance about what you said earlier, that the person who committed a crime or murder is out of the, like, forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, like, in other words, like, he's the kind of condemned, right? Is that what you meant? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said in the Quran, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. How do you calculate him?
That is only when that person has done tawbah, istighfar. If they haven't done, what that hadith, maybe we didn't clarify enough. When hadith was saying that that person had no mandatma, no guilt, and did not say sorry, or did not istighfar tawbah to Allah, they didn't do tawbah, they told you Allah, and they went ahead and, you know, in this, from this dunya, just like that. Mm-hmm. Then it's liable. But honestly, Allah is Ghafir al-Dhamb, Muqabil al-Tawb, He is Ghafur al-Rahim. He can do whatever He wants. So if a person has asked forgiveness from that, then yes, they would not be liable for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
I'm sorry,
no, you can ask 100, there's no problem. Don't feel sorry about it.
I'm just going to share something with everyone. I was extremely frustrated on my day for 2 weeks.